This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Ask me about my dick.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
And it is
Lawfer.
And it is hot in here. Yes. I guess. I mean, hell, you pull it off a live ad. I guess it's all right. If they can sell it, we can say it. I mean, I guess is that the line? Oh boy, I don't know if that's a good idea right there, T, but we'll find out. I'm sure we will find out.
Clients always come first.
Yeah, that too. I mean, you just gonna keep digging or what? You just gonna keep digging on in there?
Oh, yeah, it's a tremendous head.
That's great. All right, it's 5 o'clock fire, baby. And the Astros, game two, looking to turn the tide here. It's been ugly, y'all. It has been ugly. They've been shut out three of the last four games. The only game they weren't shut out, it took them 12 innings to beat the Baltimore Orioles. But we're going to get out of the rearview mirror, baby. We're going to get out of the rearview mirror, and we're going to keep this thing pointed north. The lineup tonight for the Astros: Jeremy Pena is in the leadoff spot. Carlos Correa is hitting two, playing third. Jose Altuve is batting third in the DH. Christian Walker's batting fourth, playing first base. Yainer Diaz is catching, batting fifth. Ramon Urias is at second base, batting sixth. Mauricio Dubon is in left field, batting seventh. Cam Smith batting eighth in right field. And I'll be damned, y'all, we got Chaz McCormick, a relief pitcher, playing center field, batting ninth.
First, it was Altuve making the giant move from second base, his whole Hall of Fame career, out to left field. Now we have white boy Chaz, the back end of the bullpen fella, going to figure it out in the outfield. Let's go, Chaz.
The closer, Chaz McCormick, is somehow in the lineup, y'all. I'll be honest with y'all, I'm dead serious, man. My heart broke last night when I saw him on the pitcher's mound again, having to finish a game. This is when I question the kind of human being that people are. Like, I'm dead serious, y'all. I know this is fire, and I'm supposed to be locked and loaded on this, and I just said stay out of the rearview mirror. Hey, I question the kind of man Joe Espada is.
Ooh.
I mean, you know how many guys there are over there on the bench that you could throw in there and do
I'm
that?
I'm trying to do the best
that,
I can.
The Chaz McCormick. I mean, you can move some guys around and put somebody else in that's not Chaz McCormick multiple nights in a row. You have to have zero awareness about what's – I mean, he has got to be in an unbelievably bad spot mentally and physically, and you put him in there again. But nonetheless, he should be in a better spot today because, one, he's in the lineup, and number two, Tyler Milner. Tyler Milner has done a little bit of research here, y'all.
That's me.
He submitted the order. Damn, and he's had it delivered to the stadium.
Visiting team clubhouse. It's in there.
Yeah, got to go into the clubhouse, man, for that visiting squad.
Who was that, Sally? Was that Sally that gave you the tip right there, Luke?
Sally gave one, but I think you picked a different one.
Oh, yeah.
Sally gave you a 5-star rating, and you picked a different place?
Well, I didn't see him on DoorDash.
Oh.
So,
what Tyler's done is Tyler has DoorDashed Berry Yummy Treats, which is one order of banana pudding, to Chaz McCormick, and he's having it delivered to...
I'm dead ass serious, people.
I mean, I don't know if he hit confirm order or not. But
I'm looking at it. Traveling Chaz's way to the ballpark right now, bro.
Tigers visiting team clubhouse, 2100 Woodward Avenue, Detroit, Michigan, 48201. Are you kidding? That's a legit address. Where'd you find the address?
Oh, I got my ways, bro. I used to be a recruiter.
Wow.
You figure out how to find information you want when you're a recruiter. But no, I got the address in there for DoorDash up there in Detroit. Head to the visiting clubhouse for one Chaz McCormick and the Houston Astros. Big ol' order of banana pudding to get my guy feeling right. And it should be arriving well before first pitch. I'm actually watching my phone waiting for this DoorDasher to call
me. What are we going to do if this somehow literally gets to
that would be amazing. This DoorDasher is going to be so confused when they arrive there, and then it's going to be like a security issue where...
Well, no, my plan's going to be, they're going to call me, hey, sir, I'm here with your banana pudding order, DoorDash, I'm outside the visiting, you know, the address you gave me, and I'm going to say, hey, look, yes, thank you, I work with the team, I work with the Houston Astros over there, and I monitor these things, but I'm going to need you to find my guy, Chaz McCormick, he's in the visiting clubhouse, I'm busy. But I need you to get that pudding to him. We'll see what happens.
Hey, just say, hey, man, hey, you know, can you see the clubhouse? And if he says yes, say, hey, that door right there, just knock on that door.
Yes.
And hey, I'm right inside that door. Knock on that door and give it to me.
They're not going to get anywhere close. And hopefully
you don't think they're going to get close?
No. Security's going to be like, what?
I mean, I got the right address. I'm just telling you.
Security's going to be like, okay, let us go check with the Astros clubbies to see who ordered the banana pudding.
Oh, this is for that guy they keep putting out on the mound?
Look, I'm going to tell you right
now.
All
right, we got you.
If they do come in contact with a clubby for the Astros and they don't immediately know, what's going on with Chaz McCormick, two, that banana pudding is for his ass, then they need to be fired. Their awareness is awful. So
also, I hope the DoorDasher is a sports fan and not like a single mom who's like, what the heck? Where's the visiting clubhouse?
Tyler,
just circling the stadium.
Let's be honest. Tyler will tip her better if she's a single mom.
I tip well. I always tip well.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt about that. You tip well. You just tip better if she's female. All right. We'll see if Chaz gets his banana pudding. Already went through the lineup tonight. The big part of tonight, the must-see part of
all the best.
The must-see the must-see TV in terms of the Astros tonight is about this pitching matchup. You got two of Luke did the research here. You got two of the top three pitchers in the AL going head-to-head. Two Cy Young candidates. You got Hunter Brown, Detroit native.
Yeah.
I mean, numbers are tremendous. He's an absolute bulldog. He is on the bump versus Tarik Skubal, the best pitcher in the American League, at least this year, right? I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Yep.
Cy Young favorite. So we'll see. I mean, this is the kind of matchup for me that I just expect to see a different level of intensity, I guess, out of Hunter Brown. He is definitely the type of athlete that doesn't overlook these kind of opportunities. You go out there and you pitch really, really well. You out-duel Tarik Skubal, then all of a sudden the conversation could change in your favor as they are had around this year's Cy Young. But Hunter Brown, Tarik Skubal tonight, Astros, Detroit Tigers. The Astros have been absolutely tremendous, 12-4 versus division-leading teams this year, and the Detroit Tigers are a division-leading team. So hopefully Hunter Brown tonight can turn the tide for the Astros, Luke.
Yeah, he's going to need to. This is a earning your stripes type of game if he hasn't already done that. But a chance to try to put the team on his back and get a win against the best pitcher in the American League on the road. First place team. This is a big spot. This is why you have an ace like Hunter Brown, and we'll see if he can deliver. We'll see if the offense can give him some help, too. I mean, you know, there's going to be even more pressure on him as a pitcher when the offense isn't scoring any runs. By the way, just to provide some context on how bad things have gone, I know that stat's been floating around. First time in 20 years they've been shut out in three of the last four games. But if you go back to 2005 when that happened in April, those losses were 1-0, 2-0, and 2-0. They were all competitive games. One of the losses was in extra innings. Whereas here, not only are they getting shut out, but they're getting blown out. So this is a stretch we have not seen from the Astros in more than two decades. I don't know how far back you have to go to find a time where they've been outscored by 28 runs over a four-game stretch. But Hunter Brown needs to be the stopper tonight to get things back on track and get a big win in Detroit. You get a win like this, you beat the best pitcher in the American League and a first-place team on the road, and you know, you get some hits and some runs tonight. It's like a three-point shooter just waiting to see that one shot go through the net to get them going. Like, you just need this one win tonight, and then maybe that can snowball and get you back on track.
5:40, first pitch. We will do Tyler's best bets a segment early. We'll do it in the next segment because there are some Astros bets in there. Surprise, surprise. That's up next.
And enjoy that pudding, McCormick. Let's go, buddy.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros. Staying on that Astros front. Couple of injury updates here. Lance McCullers will start Friday in Baltimore. Game one of a four-game set up in Baltimore versus the Orioles. Lance McCullers coming back with that that awful blister that kept him on the IL for a few weeks. Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia will make another rehab start tonight in Corpus Christi. And Yordan Alvarez will DH tonight in Corpus Christi. He will rest tomorrow, and then he will play a back-to-back Thursday and Friday night in Corpus Christi. And as we reported yesterday, the hopes are that he could be in Baltimore Sunday, I believe, is the thought there, potentially. Or the Colorado Rockies series back at home following that Baltimore four-game series. There's your Astros injury updates, the important ones. There's other action going on because their injury list is about 25 long, but those are the ones that I think stood out the most and are closest to coming back and being in a big league uniform.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans were on the practice field today. We're in that week of training camp where you got limited reps remaining for guys that could potentially be on the bubble for any kind of competition that's going on the depth chart. You've got two practices, including one of those being a joint practice and a game, a Saturday game, preseason game. I think that's gonna round out the action, the opportunity for these guys to make this team. The August the 26th, next Tuesday, is the cut down date for the Texans. And today, there's two things I think to note from today's practice. Left tackle, veteran left tackle, $12 to $14 million left tackle. Cam Robinson has missed a good chunk of camp. He returned to practice today, and Cam Robinson was back at practice, but the starting unit remained the same. Ariante Ursery was your left tackle. Titus Howard was your right tackle. We'll see how they work Cam Robinson back into the mix. We'll see if it affects the rookie Ariante Ursery at all. Does he swing back to right tackle? Does Titus Howard bump back in to guard? We'll see how the Texans respond to Cam Robinson being healthy. I would imagine he's going to get a lot of run in the joint practice as well as the game. I don't know. I don't know if Cam Robinson, being the veteran that he is, you would think no go in preseason game three, but the fact that he's missed a big chunk of camp could mean that he's going to get reps in preseason three. We'll see it. Also today back at practice, Damian Pierce, running back Damian Pierce, back at practice. No Joe Mixon, and there's been no Damian Pierce, so it's been, you know, there's a lot of backup running backs, including Nick Chubb, in the mix, but Damian Pierce was back today. So Cam Robinson, Damian Pierce, good to see those guys back. Not sure what the future looks like for either of those guys, to be honest with you, but they're both back at practice, healthy, and getting after it.
Yeah, that's obviously important. You want everyone out there. This is a huge week for Damian Pierce, specifically Thursday and Saturday. And for Cam Robinson, like, I think the team's better with him on the sidelines from an offensive line perspective, so I'm curious to see how they do approach it moving forward. And to your point about Saturday's game, yeah, typically you would say no, but not only the time missed, if he is right now considered part of the second unit, like, you know, you need a certain amount of offensive linemen to get through that game on Saturday. If you're going to sit all of your starters, let's say, you know, how many of the quote-unquote backups, which Cam Robinson would be on Saturday, can you sit as well? So curious to see what they do with him this weekend too, and how he slots in. But as I've made it clear throughout this afternoon and really for a week since they brought him in, I think they're better off with other options at those tackle positions than Cam Robinson. So I am fascinated to see how they approach the next week or even 2 weeks before the start of the season with the offensive line, and if they, you know, ease him back in, or if this is the five they roll with.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, in division opponents, some believe the rival of the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts. They've named a starting quarterback. Daniel Jones has been named the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. He's been named the starting quarterback over Anthony Richardson, the fourth overall draft pick a couple of years back out of Florida. Super athletic, monster arm. But when it comes to processing at a high level, accurately distributing the football on time and on schedule, playing within the system, identifying pressures and getting yourself out of trouble, Anthony Richardson just hadn't gotten it done, so much so to the point that Daniel Jones, who really I think the biggest part of his career is that he somehow survived the mess that was the New York Giants, where the owner actually came out and said, we've done everything we could to keep Daniel Jones from having success. He's moved on. Where did he go? What did he go through? Minnesota? No, yeah, Minnesota. He went through. Yeah. He was in Minnesota as a backup, and then he landed this year in Indianapolis, and he wins the starting job over Anthony Richardson. I'm not surprised at all that Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback, but admittedly, I'm a little bit higher on Daniel Jones than most are, and I'm probably a little more realistic on Anthony Richardson than most are. I'd like to see him win. I'd like to see him have success. Hell, I'm fascinated with watching him play, but, man, he just hadn't been able to get the job done at the NFL level.
No, he hasn't. The numbers are pretty crazy. I mean, of all quarterbacks that have played since he's entered the league, he's last in accuracy and completion percentage. In terms of throws downfield, he is last in the league in completion percentage. In terms of a bit of a newer analytic completion percentage compared to expected, he's last in the league. If you were to just look at quarterbacks in their first 2 years in the league since 2000, he ranks 103rd out of 103rd in accuracy amongst those. So anyways, I could keep going. Point being, he's historically inaccurate, or has been at the NFL level, Anthony Richardson. And I think, look, he was a project when they drafted him, even though he was fourth overall. For me, at the time, I said at the time, so it's not, you know, hindsight being 2020, I didn't think they should have thrown him out there week one of his rookie season. I thought they should have given him some time to develop before they threw him out on the field. And it's just been ups and downs, mostly downs ever since. Daniel Jones certainly gives them the better opportunity to win. And we'll see what sort of version we get of Daniel Jones, because you think of, like, Baker Mayfield spent some time with Sean McVay in L.A., and that turned his career around. Daniel Jones was a playoff quarterback a couple years ago, as you mentioned, gets that time with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota where he could be on the sidelines just learning. And I'm curious to see if that helps him improve now in Indianapolis as the starter. But he's certainly the better option for the Colts.
We shall see. We got the Astros and the Tigers first pitch at 5:40. We got T-Mill's best bets. We'll give you plenty of time.
For you real quick, it just seconds ago, the game is under delay for the Astros up in Detroit.
Okay.
We can get into that.
We're going to stay according to plan here. T-Mill's best bets a little early, a little earlier than normal. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
This DoorDasher is going to be so confused when they arrive there.
I bring a banana pudding.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. T. Mill is on the ones and twos behind the glass, and you're listening to Houston's leader, sports leader, Sports Radio 610. And since the Astros' first pitch is at 5:40, I understand, Tyler, they've been delayed a bit, which is going to allow me to get home and watch. But nonetheless, let's go ahead and just stay according to plan here, stay on track. Let's go ahead and knock these T-Mill's best bets out. Because, look, if you are a betting man or woman, even though there is a little bit of delay, you want to go ahead and get them in because you never know when they're going to crank up action. So, T-Mill's best bets, a little early action today. T-Mill's best bets, what you got, brother?
Yeah, just like me, man. You never know when they're going to crank that action up. That's absolutely right. Always ready. That's the secret. Everybody in that clubhouse knows. Here are your best bets for tonight. Our Monday night, last night, those five MLB wagers I gave you, well, they sucked. So, we're going to rebound tonight. Three of these six bets I got for you are Astros related.
Well, never backs down, does he? He doesn't back down.
Scared money don't make no freaking money. Here we go. Twins. Formerly the squad you found Los Correa on, no longer. Twins money line at -130 tonight. They're hosting the piss poor Athletics on the diamond. Twins money line locked that one in. Guardians at Diamondbacks in Arizona. Over 8.5 runs in that one tonight. Another over up next for you. Orioles at the Boston Red Sox over 9. So no hook in that one. Over 9 at minus 125. And then here are your three Astros bets. It's a very low number. For both of the next two, I am going to read. This is embarrassing. Change it. No more goose eggs. Use the bat that you put in your hands before you walk to the plate in Detroit tonight. I'm on over 7 between the Astros and Tigers. I don't know who's going to get more, who's going to get over that 7. It could just be the Tigers by themselves at this point. I'm so pissed off.
Hunter Brown's on a bump. It ain't happening, baby.
But it sure as hell better not just be the Tigers, because your next bet is the Astros team total over 2.5. I literally, no exaggeration, in all my debaucherous betting days the last few years during this golden era of baseball for the Astros, I have never seen it set at 2.5 runs. Again, embarrassing. Over 2.5 runs, sure as heck better be doable. And then lastly, I got a player prop for you. The Diesel. No more unleaded, sir. Over 5.5 strikeouts for Hunter Brown tonight in Detroit against the Tigers. And I lied to you, because I got one more bet for you.
Come on, what is it? It's not on the graphic.
He's somewhere in Detroit right now. Well, probably the visiting clubhouse. He's eating some banana pudding. The drive just sent his way all the way from Houston, Texas via DoorDash. Thank you, you beautiful people. Chaz McCormick's in the lineup. He's not coming out of the pen. The back end relief is out in the outfield. Chaz McCormick. This is my lock of the day, night, and month. White boy Chaz. To get a base hit. That's it. Chaz is going to get that done easy.
Hey, he needs it, man. Hey, Ron's going to be so mad for us playing this music, but you know what? We're beyond him deserving it.
Should have checked your weather, bro.
Yeah, you should have been back and checked your weather, huh? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Damn it, he needs it. Just like he needs that banana pudding that you ordered. Woo! And I don't know that Chaz has ever needed a hit more. I mean, tonight, a hit would go a really long way. An RBI. When this lineup, they've been picking guys over him in left field, right field, and center field. This lineup has been shut out 3 of the last 4 games. If White Boy Chaz has ever had a White Boy Chaz, let me phrase that. If Chaz McCormick has ever had a White Boy Chaz night, this is it.
Hell yeah, bro.
He needs it.
Hell yeah.
I got 100. I'm in there with you.
Let's go, White
Luke,
Boy.
You in on this or no?
No.
I'm in on
McCormick on Chaz over 0.5 strikeouts on the mound.
Hey, I am in on the Chaz McCormick bet, and I'll tell you what. What did you put a? I'm just tying a couple of things together here from a wager perspective. Astros Tigers over. Astros team total over. You brought something to the air a little earlier, Luke, on Tariq Skubal, that like recently, his recent run has been as impressive. Talk to me. Is that an August thing?
Yeah, 4.82 ERA in August. So he hasn't been that sharp. It's been about 3 straight outings. He hasn't been as good as he was the rest of the season.
So, Tyler, you may be onto something there.
Let's go, baby.
You may be onto something there. I hope we're onto something with this Chaz McCormick thing. I am. My heart broke for him last night when I saw he was on the mound again. So, damn it, I'm gonna go ahead and put 100 on it. I'm gonna go ahead and
I love bet that out of you, because scared money don't make money. And the drive right here on these airwaves, we're doing all we freaking can to get Chaz and the bats going. We got pudding at the clubhouse.
We got a big
let's
bet.
Go.
We got pudding at the clubhouse. We got the music back. And by the way, if you didn't hear all those bets and you are interested, you can always look back at T-Meal Real Deal on Twitter. And by the way, what I'm looking at is I'm seeing reported. I don't know how official it is. I'm assuming it's official because Chandler Rome is retweeting it. A 6:15 first pitch. First pitch is now set for 6:15 our time, 7:15 p.m. Eastern.
You've been more in time to enjoy that pudding.
Yes, yes. Give him plenty for it to settle in his tummy right before he.
Exactly.
Well, hell, I mean,
You don't want to get a sugar high right before you run out there in the field,
I mean,
you know?
Let's be honest. It's going to be 6:30. It's going to be 6:30, I mean, at best, because he's batting ninth. It's not like not going to get to him in the first inning. So he's going to get a little extra rest there. But
let me tell you, too, Clint.
What?
I appreciate your brother shouting out the Twitter just in, at T-Mill Real Deal.
Mm-hmm.
If Chaz does something real crazy, like if he decides to just erase all the bad four-letter words that have been in my head regarding the Astros the last, like, 3-4 days, and he hits a homer or something, I'm going to take a video of my reaction because I might lose my mind. I'm going to freak out.
How amazing would it be if he goes down like Javier, where they announce in, like, the third inning, Chaz has to come out to because of food poisoning? Stomach problem.
He got this bug. Well, that would be
because of the banana. Because you're a banana pudding.
I'm vibing, Luke.
Imagine you're watching the game tonight.
Is this the hater that Reggie was talking about?
Yes,
this is
Luke Morrill, the hater.
I mean, my man is buying banana pudding for Chaz McCormick to hopefully get back to White Boy Chaz, and you're putting food poisoning mojo on it. Huh?
That would be such an amazing story. And then that'd be the bigger story, really.
I started the show defending you, and at 5:35, you're going to push me into Luke as a hater.
Son of a bitch.
Luke is a hater role here.
You're watching the game tonight, and you get breaking news. Chaz has been scratched. Stomach
Stop
not
it.
Feeling well.
Oh, that is
Stop
awful.
It.
And
that
you would know awful. What it was from.
That is awful.
That would be
amazing. You'll come at me about White Boy Chaz. All right, we got the Texans were on a practice field today. We got a tackle back in action. We seem to all of a sudden have a stable of tackles over here with the Texans. Is that an advantage? Is it not? I think it has to do with one guy that's playing really good football inside. I'll tell you the key to all of the shuffling around that the Texans potentially could do to solve their offensive line problems. I think it rests on one guy, and it's not a tackle. I'll give you that. I'll tell you who that is. We'll catch you up on this Astros game tonight. It's must-see TV. It's what it's all about. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. He's safe in Atlanta. He will be back in Houston tonight. We will back full go tomorrow with the whole crew. But for now, Luke Morrow is in for Ron the Show Hughley. And it's been a killer few days working with Luke Morrow. T-Mill is behind the glass over here. So we are rocking and rolling. Good to have Ron Hughley and his beautiful bride back in the state safely. I don't know about y'all, but we've joked a lot about the whole being stuck in Turks and Caicos and how nice it would be. Hey, man, being out of the country, needing to get on a flight, and there's a hurricane all around the place, that's scary business right there, man. So good to have them back safe in the States. We'll see. Hopefully they get from Atlanta to Houston here before too long. But one of the biggest questions, y'all, one of the biggest questions this – not one of, I think the biggest question, the most important Texans question this entire offseason is, can the Texans fix their O-line issues, taking the approach that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans decided to take? They took a low budget, if you will. I think they took a low budget route. They took we're going to change the mentality. We're going to hire a new coach. They took the route of not spending a ton of money, but more placing more importance on, getting out, guys that didn't have a certain mindset, the Laremy Tunsils of the world, didn't have a certain mindset, and bringing in guys that did have the mindset, the physicality, the accountability, the setting the standard, the showing up every day in the off season, spending time together, placing a significant level of importance on, being together in chemistry and things of that nature. Will it work? I don't know. We shall see. Here's what's going on with the Texans offensive line. They did sign this offseason $12 million up to $14 million for Cam Robinson, 1-year deal, left tackle. He has missed a chunk of camp, and today the reports are he returned to camp today. Now, the deal there is Arionte Ursary, the rookie that the Texans drafted this year in the second round, has been playing really, really, really good left tackle and has impressed since he put on the pads in Houston, but definitely at that left tackle position. Make of it what you will. It's training camp. It's a short period of time. but they really like Ariante Ursery at left tackle. Tytus Howard has moved from right guard to right tackle, and the response that I've heard from people is the last joint practice, the pressure was down significantly. Actually, it was before the last joint practice, because I remember the significance was they bumped Tytus out, and all of a sudden Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter quit having their way with the right tackles ultimately, and the quarterback appeared to have a little bit of time and room to work. So the point is the question, can the Texans fix their O-line issues, is where do they end up playing Tytus Howard? Where do they end up playing Ariante Ursery? And as I said coming into this segment, I think there's one guy that's going to allow this thing to happen in a way in which the team, the Texans, have options, right? And that is the right guard position. Bear with me here, right? You got two centers. I think Jake Andrews is the guy. Jarrett Patterson is the backup. You got a left guard in Laken Tomlinson. All right, the right guard position. The right guard position is where we need to focus here. I think Ed Ingram is a guy that they traded for, a sixth-round pick for. Former first-round pick in Minnesota, just never worked out in Minnesota. He is a true guard. And he's been getting run at starting right guard here for, let's call it, a week, and really, really performed well in this last preseason game. I think he had some really good moments in the joint practice that they had last week with Carolina. And Ed Ingram is the guy. Now, Juice Scruggs today was getting a little run there at that right guard position. Bottom line is, those two guys, I think it's more Ed Ingram's to lose, and Juice Scruggs is more of good quality depth at all three of those inside positions. But Ed Ingram at the right guard position. Of course, it's important if the guy can play an average NFL right guard. But the significance here in Houston is if Ed Ingram can play right guard, then that allows you to do whatever you want with Tytus Howard, which in this instance, he's playing right tackle, right? Which then that allows you to do whatever you want with Ariante Ursery. Ariante Ursery can play left or right tackle. And now it gives you the opportunity to decide, is Cam Robinson, can he stay healthy? Is Cam Robinson the right fit for this team at the left tackle position? Is he better off as a swing tackle? Is he a guy that maybe you shop and you can trade over the next week? You got a surplus of tackles. You've got five tackles. Nick Caserio was on Payne and Pendergast this morning talking about they've got five legit tackles on this team. You're tackle heavy. What do you do with all the tackles that you have, right? If Ed Ingram at right guard plays well enough and convinces them that he's the best right guard on this team, then all of a sudden the flexibility at tackle is endless, really. I mean, you can move guys around, because Blake Fisher has even played better reportedly. I've not seen any film to say so, and I missed practice this morning. But reportedly, Blake Fisher is playing better this past week in the preseason game as well as at practice. And so you've got a surplus of tackles, and if Ed Ingram can play good guard, then it's going to be a good problem to have.
It sure is going to be. And Ed Ingram's a good fit for this team because of the style of offense they're going to try to run this year. And
yeah,
look, that was always his strength in Minnesota, where he was better in the run than blocking for the pass. And this year, this summer, again, small sample size, take it with a big grain of salt. It's preseason, but he's been rated as the fourth best lineman in run blocking so far through preseason action, at least by Pro Football Focus. So he's done a good job this year. He's fit in well, and because of that, it's allowed them to keep Tytus Howard, at least for the time being, at tackle, which then gives them more of that depth you mentioned at the tackle position. So Ed Ingram's been the biggest surprise for me. I do think he's the linchpin on this whole thing, and hopefully he can keep this up and not only be efficient or proficient in the run blocking, but also to protect the C.J. Stroud when he drops back as well. But with all that said, and look, I'm not a Cam Robinson guy. I don't think I would miss him from the roster, but do you feel that good about the tackle depth? Because you just ran through it. Like Blake Fisher, do we feel great about Blake Fisher being one of those options? Trent Brown is coming back from an injury, probably won't be ready for a few weeks into the season. You know, is it the kind of thing that we might look a few weeks into the season and be like, oh, thank goodness they still have that guy, whether that's Cam Robinson or somebody else. I feel like they're going to need a few bodies to get through the year.
Yeah, look, you always, I mean, especially with tackles, I mean, the more the merrier. They're not as interchangeable as your interior offensive line typically is. So I don't know that you need five of them. Hell, I don't know if they can afford to keep five of them, but maybe so. Here's the deal. I'm leaning heavily into C.J. Stroud playing a different brand of quarterback and Nick Caley taking into account that he may have to help these guys and him having the ability to do it. I think his scheme allowing these guys to communicate at the line of scrimmage is going to be significantly better than from a protection standpoint than what we've seen in the past. And so I don't look at this thing through the lens of like, boy, one guy is just getting his ass whooped consistently. Like at the tackle position in particular, I'm worried about that in the interior offensive line. That's where you can't help guys. I am not worried about I'm not worried about Ariante Ursary being a rookie at left tackle. If he is so bad that you can't even put a running back or a tight end over there and help him and still get the job done, then he don't need to play, right? I mean, and. Look, I think in that case, Cam Robinson will get it done. I like Titus Howard at tackle. Do I think you're going to put him on an island versus the best in the league and be okay? No. Do I think you're going to have to help him some? Yeah, absolutely. They don't have any Laramie Tunsils where you're just going to put them on an island and say, to hell with it, let's ride. I mean, those days are over. If you get into the injury aspect of this thing, you know, Titus has had some injury problems. Cam Robinson has had some injury problems. Obviously, Trent Brown is still out. So yep. You've got some guys there that injuries may be an issue. But yeah, I don't worry too much about the depth. I mean, I think you're going to be fine across the board. The key, as I mentioned coming in, and my whole point here in the segment is getting guard right. I mean, that is the scariest part of this offensive line overhaul for me is Ed Ingram, hell, and Lakin Tomlinson. I mean, the advanced stats would tell you that they really struggled as much, if not more, than most guards that played any amount of time last year in pass protection, right? And so that's the part that, man, there's just no way to help that. You can slide protect, you can do, but you become very predictable. That is a very difficult fix. I can help tackles.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, there's things as an offensive play caller I can do to help tackles. So I'm not worried about our tackles. I'm not worried if they're – I mean, I be honest with you. Look, Blake Fisher got his ass whooped in the game in the first preseason game. But Davis Mills got the ball out so quick, nobody's talking about it.
We don't like that.
I mean, of course we do because we come in here and we're like, man, did you see Blake Fisher get beat? Yeah. But like, it didn't affect the game at all. Right. And so if your quarterback plays on schedule and has that mentality of get the football out, make, like we've heard C.J. Stroud say already, I've got to help those guys. We've got to help those guys up front. If they have that mentality, then those guys are going to make mistakes and they're not going to be game drive killing types of plays. No, the ball's going to be out. You know, they're going to get a negative on their grade. Yeah. But it's not going to be, all right, we'll line up at second and 16 because there was a sack. Right. I mean, there's so many ways to minimize the effect that a tackle that just is not Laramie Tunsil impacts the game.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say I think that circles back to the Ed Ingram. I mean, all but one of Stroud's passes on Saturday was under 2.5 seconds. So if you have a guy who's good against the run and then you help him in the pass by getting rid of the football so quick, that's the opposite of, you know, Kevin O'Connell with Sam Darnold in Minnesota was holding on to a lot of the football and forcing Ingram to have to block more, you know, moving backwards. But this whole conversation also ties back to what I was saying all offseason of I didn't understand why they committed such a large portion of the resources to the tackle position as opposed to guard. Now, Ingram has worked out so far, and Tomlinson's been pretty good so far as well, better than even I expected. But I thought they spent a lot of their resources on the tackle positions when they should have focused more on the interior this offseason. Now, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Well, it may have fell into their lap with Jake Andrews trading a 6th-round pick for Ingram. You know, this may be, you know, Juice Scruggs getting some run there. It may work out. We'll see. We'll see if the change of mentality and you know, standard and chemistry in that O-line room. We'll see if that gets the job done, or should they have spent a little bit more money to get the job done. We'll see. And they got options. They got options. Keep an eye on that right guard position. If that position is filled with somebody other than Titus Howard, boy, now you've got options at the tackle position. So look out. We'll see how they all fare and how this O-line shakes out. And then we'll see. In about 3 weeks, we'll see if they're worth a damn. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
How about that? All right, Houston. Ron, the show, Ugly, be back tomorrow. Luke Morrow, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate
you joining us. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. T-Mill, good job behind the glass. Go Astros. Go White Boy Chaz. Make us some money, baby. Until tomorrow, Houston, we love you, baby.
Giant move from second base, his whole Hall of Fame career out to left field. Now we have White Boy Chaz, the back end of the bullpen fella, going to figure it out in the outfield. Let's go, Chaz.
The closer. Chaz McCormick is somehow in the lineup, y'all, and he's having it delivered to...
I'm dead ass serious, people.
I mean, I don't know if he hit confirm order or not. Tigers visiting team clubhouse, 2100 Woodward Avenue, Detroit, Michigan, 48201.
This door dasher is going to be so confused when they arrive there.
I bring a banana pudding.
You'll come at me about White Boy Chaz.
Do it, lady.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.